And welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey, Austin Bechtold filling in for the guys on a Friday. An overreaction Friday after day one of Steelers training camp. And you know that music. That means everybody loves Raymond. Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joins us from Latrobe. What's going on, Ray? How are you?
Good morning, Jason. How are we doing this morning?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Rolling right along. Ray is brought to you, of course, by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home for over 90 years, lgkg.com. All right, Ray, so our first hour, we were talking a lot about some of the overreactions to stuff on the first day. I know that's not unfamiliar territory to you, but realistically, what was one of your biggest takeaways from the first day? Stuff that maybe, you know, we should actually care about.
Yeah, I mean, listen, what I took away from it was, where are guys lining up on defense? Who's on in base, who's off, you know, what are the sub packages? You know, we got some of those questions answered yesterday. And to me, early on, and I'm driving up the road now, the familiar sight of making the left off of Route 30, Jason, there are about 300 cars lined up on side of the road here. As I get on the campus, I get a kick out of this every time here. But, yeah, to me, I always watch the rookies, Jason. And, Harmon looked good yesterday. And I thought Caleb Johnson looked really good, too. So, it was a good first day for the rookie class.
So, Ray, we heard and read a lot about the defense sort of moving around more. You know, Jalen Ramsey being the chess piece and that sort of thing. And specifically with Ramsey, do you think that's something that they're just trying out in training camp? Or is it pretty realistic that – you know, in the nickel, he might line up in the slot, base defense, he's going to be at safety. Like, is that a pretty lasting usage of him?
I think it's going to depend on the opponent, Jason. Now, you know, he's such a versatile player that, you know, if they're playing a really good tight end one week, I know they're not playing the Chiefs this year, but let's say they were playing the Chiefs, you know, you could pretty much single him up on Travis Kelce, try to take Travis Kelce out of the game, and you can match up from there. He's your highest paid defensive back. He's, I think, your best cover corner. And I think you're going to utilize him in that way. But there are other games where, let's say you're playing the Cincinnati Bengals, and you say, okay, hey, Jalen Ramsey, you're going to go on Higgins or Chase, and then Joey Porter, you got the other guy, and then they're going to match up from there. So I really do think it's going to be a week-by-week situation, and that's the nice thing about having like a chess piece like Jalen Ramsey at your disposal. You can use him in a variety of ways, and I know these coaches are very excited about doing that.
What's the root of that, Ray? Like, who do you think came up with that idea? Was that an Omar Khan thing? Was it Mike? Was it all of them together? Terrell Austin's input? Like, I like the strategy. I think it's very sound, but where did it start?
Yeah, I think once Jalen Ramsey came on board, you know, you had that flexibility because, you know, you had Minkah back there. They were using Minkah in a specific way. So you trade one good player, you acquire another, but in the acquisition of that player, you get to use him in a man-on-man coverage role, which you didn't do a lot with Minkah Fitzpatrick. So, you heard Mike talk about this the other day. What they're really excited about is being able to match up man-to-man and how that's going to, you know, affect their rush game. You know, if you can line up across the board and you're confident in your defensive backs covering people, then you're going to be able to blitz more. Theoretically, your front four, front five are going to be able to get home more. And I think it's going to improve the pass rush too. You know, one thing that's gone unsaid here the last couple of years is how the sack numbers have gone down. And I think with them having better personnel in the defensive backfield now, I think the pass rush is going to be better too. So I know we're going to look at that down the road, but by going out and getting a guy like Jalen Ramsey, I think it's going to help their defense in a lot of ways, just not in coverage.
Pomp and Joe Show, we're chatting with Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can read Ray's coverage at post-gazette.com. Follow him on X at RayFit1. Ray, I wanted to ask you about the defensive line. You brought up Derek Harmon, and, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of Cam Hayward, Keanu Benton, Derek Harmon. That's pretty obvious. Beyond those guys, who are you sort of looking at to step up? Who might have the best chance of actually playing a decent amount among the other reserves?
Oh, that's the thing, Jason. I don't know that we know that right now. You know, you have your three starters, and after that, I think, you know, the guy with the most pedigree is DeMarvin Leal, but he's coming off a bad injury, and he's kind of been a tweener, so you don't really know what you're going to get out of him. You know, he's played okay at times and not so okay at other times. And then you got just a bunch of guys. You know, you got Daniel Wequale, who was a starter for the Patriots last season. No one really knows what he's all about yet. Logan Lee was a rookie last year. He spent the year on IR. Isaiah Loudermilk is a guy who's been around. Dean Lowry is a guy who came last year. So, you know, I'm just throwing a bunch of names out there because I don't know who among those guys is really going to step up. If I had to pick a guy who I think they would like to step up, it's Leal. But he's never really had that one consistent season where you could sit back and say, okay, yeah, we're going to count on him as our number four guy or our number five guy in that rotation.
Ray, I thought it was interesting what Mike Tomlin said yesterday about Caleb Johnson. You know, it's obviously you know, not unfamiliar territory for him to kind of tamp down expectations on rookies, and he didn't seem interested in doing that with Caleb Johnson. Why do you think that is? You know, do you think he really likes Caleb Johnson? Is Caleb Johnson going to be a part of this thing? Just what did you make of Mike Tomlin's assessment of the rookie from Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, they know Caleb Johnson's going to be a really good player for them, and it's only a matter of time, I think, before, you know, we see that. We actually saw it yesterday, first day in pads. I mean, that guy gets to the hole well, and, you know, you think about, okay, he fell to number 83 in the draft because he didn't run well at the combine. But there wasn't anyone who was at that first practice yesterday who sat there and said, yeah, that guy runs a 4.55 40 or whatever he ran in Indy. He doesn't move that way on the football field. So they're excited about him. You know what you have in Jalen Warren. Jalen Warren is going to be your guy who's going to play on second and third and longs because he's your best pass protector. And quite frankly, he's your best receiver out of the backfield too. So as I look at this running back group right now, you know, you have Caleb Johnson, who's your first and second down guy. You want to get him the ball. Jalen Warren is probably going to play the same role he always has. And you got Kenneth Gainwell, who I thought looked really good yesterday as well, kind of that quick scat back who could be explosive too and very slippery in the open field. So a lot of possibilities there with that backfield. It's not that plodding backfield that you're used to when Najee Harris was here for the last four seasons.
Sounds like you think they'll be better this year running the ball, Ray. Is that accurate?
Well, theoretically, yeah. I mean, the offensive line is a big part of that, as you know, Jason. But, you know, and we didn't talk about this. It's the fit within Arthur Smith's offense. Arthur Smith wants to run the outside zone. Najee Harris was more of a power back. And, listen, they tried to make it work there, but it wasn't really a schematic fit. Now you add a guy who is a schematic fit, who's really talented. So, yes, it does have a chance to be much better than it has been just because Caleb Johnson is used to running the outside zone at Iowa.
Chatting with Ray Fittipaldo here on the Pomp and Joe Show on a Friday. Ray, Steelers general manager Omar Khan seemed to indicate when he talked that they're all set, said he likes the team that he has. I know he also said that he's going to, you know, be aware or out there or whatever you want to say, you know, monitoring things, obviously doing his job. I feel like he would have to be really blown away by something to add to this team or change something. Is that a fair read? Just where do you think Omar stands on the idea of bringing someone else in?
Yeah, he pretty much came out and said, we're going to evaluate who's here right now for the next couple of weeks. But, you know, Jason, if I'm a fan, I'm keeping an eye on the number two receiver and the free safety spot. And, you know, not so much number two receiver because that's a little bit disrespectful to Calvin Austin. But just add another depth guy at receiver. I think they want to see how Roman Wilson plays. I think they want to see what does Robert Woods have left. Okay, I think that's fair. They'll make that evaluation, and I think they'll address that if they have to a few weeks from now or perhaps before the season. And then the other spot to watch, free safety. Naturally, you trade away one of the best free safeties in the league. You're elevating Juan Thornhill, but that makes you a little thin back there as well. You know, they have this Sebastian Castro, undrafted free agent from Iowa that they like. So they're going to take a look at these guys. They'll see what they think of Thornhill, and then, you know, they'll make a corresponding move if they have to. But those are the two biggest positions of question in my mind as we get set to look at them in pads next week.
Ray, I was reading and hearing about Broderick Jones maybe being below the line, as Mike Tomlin would say, on the first day. I also know it's the first day. I'm not really sure I'm worried too much about it. But what did you see out of Broderick Jones at left tackle yesterday?
Yeah, and you know they're not going to put pads on until next Tuesday, so it's hard to evaluate offensive and defensive linemen in this setting. I will say one thing, Jason. He stuck out like a sore thumb to me on one rep. And whether you're in pads or not, this doesn't matter. Alex Highsmith beat him cleanly inside for an easy pressure. And if you're a left tackle in the NFL, the fastest way to the quarterback is an inside move, and Aaron Rodgers would have been blindsided and knocked on his keister if that was a real game. So that was a little bit concerning. But again, yeah, I mean, it's first day in pads, and, you know, we got to give him a little bit of time to acclimate. I know it's his natural position, but he did play on the right side mostly for the last 2 years. So it's probably going to take a little bit of a period of adjustment here before he feels completely comfortable.
Last question for Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. A lot of talk yesterday, Ray, about the tight end situation. I know Jonnu Smith didn't do a whole lot. Pat Freiermuth is obviously there. When things are going well, when they get this thing up to speed, could this be one of the better tight end situations in the NFL? You know, how high can people expect this thing to rank when you look at, you know, across the league, top five, top 10, what is it?
Well, first off, that would mean targeting the tight ends more, which they really didn't do a whole heck of a lot last season. So I think some of that had to do with the quarterback, but you got to target those guys. They got two really good ones in Freiermuth and now Jonnu Smith. And I know the Steelers kind of look at Jonnu Smith not so much as a tight end, but for a guy who could play anywhere. You know, line up a receiver, put him in a backfield as a fullback, put him up in line as a tight end. They just view him in the same way that they view Jalen Ramsey. They're going to move him around. Yes, he's labeled a tight end, but I know I said this when he was acquired. He's also got the skill set where he can basically be your number two or number three receiver as well, however that shakes out in terms of targets and all that stuff. So, yeah, a little bit of a disappointment that Jonnu Smith is a little bit nicked up. We'll see if he's back out there today. Hopefully he's back out there in pads by Tuesday, because I know they view him as a big part of this offense.
Ray Fittipaldo, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Stay hydrated today.
Thanks, Jason. See you later.
All right, Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Read his coverage at post-gazette.com. Follow Ray on Twitter or X at RayFit1. A lot of great stuff there, really, from tight ends to Broderick Jones, what Omar Khan might be looking at on the market if he decides to do something else, thoughts on Caleb Johnson, and all of that. We're going to work through some takeaways on Ray's comments as well. I think one of my biggest limits, honestly, is DeMarvin Leal being up there in the defensive line rotation. I think that this is something I've wanted to watch and to see how this plays out. I don't think there's a lot of debate whether Cam Hayward, Keanu Benton, and Derek Harmon will get a lot of snaps. They will. But who else? And I'm not sure if we have a final answer. There's five guys in the mix for the next group. But Ray said DeMarvin Leal.
I'm not hedging any bets on DeMarvin Leal.
I'm probably not either.
I would rather watch Logan Lee or Dean Lowry. I think Dean Lowry can actually be a decent defensive lineman for them.
Yeah. You know, he can. He's got the size. He contributed last year, was actually pretty decent on special teams. I believe blocked a kick.
I'm not all in on Dean Lowry, but I think as the fourth or fifth guy, it does make some sense. Plus, Logan Lee, somebody that you drafted and didn't get a chance to play last year, maybe this is the first year that we actually get to see what he could become. I think Logan Lee could be decent for them. It's just an interior defensive lineman that can help in some packages to help stop the run. But Leal, they've tried to move him around, Jason. They've had him inside a little bit, mostly outside as like a defensive end. They've had him tried to play a little bit of outside linebacker. he has just not been able to become comfortable and find a niche in this defense. Until it happens, I'm not going to believe it will.
I know. I think that DeMarvin Leal, I hope I'm pleasantly surprised by it, but I'm not anticipating that.
No.
I think Dean Lowry is probably my pick out of that group. Isaiah Loudermilk has had some moments. The ukulele. I don't know why anybody's not calling him the ukulele, but Daniel Ukwali.
Yeah.
Thank you. Another intriguing option back there. He played a lot last year for the Patriots, as Ray said. Something else that Ray said that struck me and made it to my notes is Jalen Ramsey, depending on the opponent. I like that even more. We were talking about the Steelers not being static, about them being willing to move around and wanting to match up and hunt matchups and that sort of thing. I like it a lot. I also like it based on the opponent. Align your strengths with what your opponents look like, what they do well, what they don't do so well. And if you are going to treat Jalen Ramsey like a genuine chess piece, a Swiss Army knife, all that stuff, it should vary game to game. And that's great to hear that that's how the Steelers could potentially proceed with Ramsey.
That's what they should do.
Absolutely.
You should be able to change and adapt based on the matchup. Not every team is the same personnel-wise. You can't try to attack any the same way. So whether it be Cincinnati, whether it be Baltimore, who don't have the receivers as capable as Cincinnati, whether you're facing a run-heavy team, stuff like that, it needs to shift. It needs to be able to adapt. And I think that's one thing that, you know, maybe Tomlin hasn't done well enough at over the last 5 years or so, being able to adapt, being able to change. And ideally, this is the year that starts to usher that in and that does usher it in.
So I asked Ray about Caleb Johnson and Mike Tomlin's comments on him. I believe we have a clip from Tomlin discussing Caleb Johnson, correct?
Yes. So one of the things that Tomlin made mention about Johnson is that there is a high floor component to his game.
He does. He's highly conditioned, and that helps development. When you're in really good shape, you can take additional reps. And reps equals the get better. And so he handled the first leg of it. He's come in really good shape. He's really engaged, and obviously he's got some talent. You guys saw that today.
Yeah, so Mike Tomlin, not exactly known for pumping the tires of rookies. He's actually known for the opposite of kind of tempering expectations. He's a first-year guy. Let's let it play out, that sort of thing. I thought it was interesting how Tomlin said what he did about Caleb Johnson, and it aligns with what Ray was telling us. He expects Caleb Johnson to play on first and second down. And then from there, Jalen Warren on second and third and longs. It's their best receiving option out of the backfield, their best pass pro option. I really like that. And I asked Ray in a follow-up whether the Steelers will be better constituted in the running game this year. And I truly believe that. I think they're going to be able to run the ball better. I think it's a better scheme fit. I think Najee Harris, like I get it. You know, you can't change anything midstream, at least as far as drafting him and having him in here. But it makes a lot more sense them not picking up his fifth-year option, going a different direction, prioritizing running backs. The more I see out of Caleb Johnson, the more I hear from Aaron Smith, from Arthur Smith, it makes a lot of sense what they're doing. And this kid has given us a lot of reasons, talking about Caleb Johnson, to get excited about him. Now, again, the overreaction component, and nobody has pads on and we need to temper expectations, that's all fair. But what if Caleb Johnson works out? What if he is what we thought he could be? Man, is that some big news, some good news for the Steelers. Bring him along fast. He's got that build, man. He's got that build of a bell cow, a guy that you give the ball to 20, 25, maybe even 30 times a game. 30 is probably a little on the extreme end, especially for this year. But I want to see him develop. I'm really excited when they put the pads on to go out there and watch him.
So what do you think that Caleb Johnson ultimately can be? Basically, the bell cow running back you talked about, but like, what are we pigeonholing him into be right now, do you think?
I mean, I think he can be an RB1 eventually. You know, I think he can be the guy. Like, right now, this year in 2025, I think he's probably a heavy timeshare guy.
Yeah.
You know, I think he can be a first and second down guy, maybe situationally. And I think when it's all said and done, Jalen Warren might get more carries than him.
What I don't understand is, where is Gainwell going to play?
Yeah.
Because he's actually a good player.
But he's depth.
He is.
He's depth. He's, if something happens to somebody, he's a great bit of certainty.
And he's a good third down back, so I'm surprised. And they might work him into some packages and situations, especially like keep Cordero off the field as much as possible. He shouldn't even be on the roster.
Yeah, I was going to say, keep him off the roster. That'll ensure him staying off the field.
Gainwell can basically fill the role that Cordero Patterson had last year. I'd like to see more Gainwell than that, but if Caleb Johnson does become a dependable player, I do wonder why he was picked in the third round, though.
Yeah.
Maybe just because it's Iowa, and they don't, if they tried to invent football, it would be as far away from Iowa as possible in terms of offensive football. Seems like they only factor in defense and don't know how to run offense at Iowa. But Caleb Johnson, what, 20 touchdowns last year? He was just a workhorse back.
That's what I mean. The speed he can was be the that only, here limits.
The speed was the only thing that people critiqued him on, but his game speed, next-gen stats proved that it was solid, not just his 40 time being a little bit shaky.
I remember talking to Caleb Johnson during, I believe it was mini camp, maybe it was OTAs, but that the Steelers had clocked him at like 22 miles an hour or something, top end speed. I forget what it was, but it was like elite stuff. And he doesn't really have any reason to lie about that. And that's a scary thing to say if you're not telling the truth. And I mean, I do think he's one of those guys that during the game, he can move at a certain speed and maybe straight ahead 40 time. It's not going to be that sexy. I don't care. I care how fast you play. I care how fast you think things. And that's been one of those that kid's gifts for a while, how quick, decisively he hits the hole. Now, it's not the same way as Jaylen Warren. Like, there's, you know, Jaylen Warren is just like shot out of a cannon, hit the hole as quickly as possible. Caleb Johnson has a little bit more judiciousness, if that's a word, to where he's going. You know, it's almost like more Lev Bell than it is Jaylen Warren, but man, you give me that with the size, the in-game speed, what the Steelers need, that absolutely fits what they want to do. Outside zone schemes, and that was something else that Ray talked about. It's more fit in Arthur Smith's offense. And Najee Harris was not that. I think there's a team, maybe it becomes the Chargers, I don't know. I think Najee Harris is a good player with a physical running style, and it's not to tear him down at all. But we talked earlier about kind of oil and water, joking about fan hosts living together. I think Najee Harris and the Steelers and running styles might have been a little oil and water. And I think they're getting guys that are more aligned with what they want to do. I want Jaylen Warren to stay healthy. I think he can be a fabulous part of this team. Kenneth Gainwell, I hope the Steelers get into a point where they're trying to find ways to get him the ball. It strikes me as having too much starting pitching in baseball. Like, I've never seen a team get to that point. I hope the Steelers get to the point where they're like, oh my gosh, who do we give the ball to? We're not getting this guy enough touches. We got to get him involved. Like that's a great thing to be sitting here complaining about on Sports Talk Radio. I'll believe it when I see it. And welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey in for the guys. Austin Bechtold producing. And we're basically both in here. Right? We're both in this studio.
Any help you need, Jason, I'm here to provide.
I love it, man. Always a pleasure. Make sure you listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And before the break, I teased some comments that Aaron Rodgers made, not so much about retirement. We got into that a little bit earlier. But Aaron Rodgers was talking about the Steelers and where they stack up compared to the rest of the NFL. And I thought it was interesting. Let me try to find those.
You don't need to, Jason, because here it is.
I think most of the 32 teams would probably say something to that accord at this time of the year. But I think that, you know, there's really only 6 to 8 that really have a legitimate chance. Sometimes it's 10 to 12, and there's teams that surprise you. But I would say on paper, we're probably one of those 10 to 12.
Very interesting.
Really, Mr. Rodgers. Now, what was your first reaction when you heard that clip, Mr. Limits?
That I was hoping that Aaron Rodgers would think that, or else why would he have signed here?
Okay,
if he didn't
fair
think
enough.
That he was included, if the Steelers were included in those 10 to 12 teams, he would not be a Steeler, and he'd probably be on the beach in Malibu retired right now. So he clearly thinks that this team is good enough to be able to win it. He is a key component of whatever they do. So Rodgers clearly, I think, has enough confidence that he still has enough left in the tank to be able to get the deal done. And I guess paired with Mike Tomlin, that this is actually a team. Is he looking through it with blinders of a final season and with some hope on his mind? Maybe. Because nobody in Pittsburgh believes, from an outside perspective other than on that team, that they can win a Super Bowl.
So, I agree with you. And my own perspective on it, I heard that, I read that, actually, and then listened to the audio. I laughed. I was like, this guy really thinks this? No, he can't. And then I started going through, and I said, okay, I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers at his word, and I'm going to go through and look at what 6 to 8 teams do I feel like have a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl. And sometimes it can be 10 and 12 teams that surprise you. So I thought, okay, I'm going to have a first cut of 6 to 8 teams, teams that have a very good chance to win the Super Bowl. And then which teams can maybe surprise us. So my first list, the 6 to 8, and I actually settled on 6 that I think have a very good chance to win the Super Bowl. Buffalo, Baltimore, Detroit, Kansas City, Philadelphia, and Washington. Do you see any problems there?
No, I see no issues.
Anybody you would add to that group? Anybody I omitted?
Give the list again.
Buffalo,
okay.
Baltimore,
yep.
Detroit,
yep.
Kansas City,
yep.
Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
and Washington.
I would say probably not. No, those are all the best favorites. I mean, I don't think that Green Bay is really in that conversation yet. Cincinnati with Burrow is always around that regard.
Yeah.
But no, I think that you probably have it.
So Cincinnati worries me with their defense, but separate discussion there. Now, Green Bay is an interesting one because if you expand that out a little bit, like Rodgers is saying, and we get the 10 to 12 that, quote, surprise you, I'd put the Steelers in that group. I would. My next group, if we try to get to 10 to 12 that would surprise you, and I landed on 11, teams that are capable of surprising us can get to 10 to 12. Denver, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, the Chargers, and the Vikings.
Yeah, I like that list. Vikings, though, with J.J. McCarthy, I don't think is going to be able to get there just because I don't think McCarthy is very good.
I know. I'm with you, but they had a really good year last year. They didn't lose a ton.
Oh, they have like a top five roster.
Yeah.
But if your quarterback play isn't good, you're not going to win.
But it fits the description, though, limits of teams
right.
that could surprise you. What
it
if
does.
J.J. McCarthy becomes Jaden Daniels or something like that? That would qualify as a surprise, and they're firmly on that list.
Chargers with a really good head coach, with a good quarterback in Herbert, with a defense that has gotten better, they're definitely on that list. So I think that you've hit the nail on the head pretty well. Denver, see, I'm not as high on Denver as a lot of other people. Their roster is improved. Sean Payton has done a really good job. I just want to see another year of Bo Nix before I buy into Denver. You know, and he played very well.
That's fair.
The final stretch of the season. I'm still not completely sold on Denver, though.
I'm sold on Denver being in that second cut. And maybe I'm overvaluing the Denver Broncos. I don't know. But you've got Sean Payton. You've got some weapons. I think Bo Nix has some talent to him, certainly. I don't think you would disagree with me there.
No.
But like to put the Steelers and that reading that statement from Aaron Rodgers, it sounds like he's saying something that's goofy, and he's not.
Where does he rank? Where do the Steelers rank though? Are they 10? Are they 11? Are they 12?
I mean, I think they're certainly in that range. Sure, I don't know if I'd put them any higher than 9. Like those 6 are clearly ahead of them. I think I'd put Green Bay ahead of them.
I would.
I think you would.
Yep.
Yeah. I would put the Chargers ahead of them, too.
Especially being in the NFC, with a weaker NFC for Green Bay.
Yeah.
It's getting better, but still not as strong as the AFC quarterback-wise. I'd put Green Bay ahead of them.
I would be comfortable putting the Steelers ahead of the Broncos and the Vikings on that list.
I agree with that. I agree with both.
Am I missing anybody? Because I'd
Cincinnati put the Chargers ahead of them, to answer your question.
No. I mean, a team that we're not – like, we're at 11. Can we get to 12 with a team that we think could legitimately surprise somebody – to get to or win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
I mean, I would be more surprised if the Steelers get to the Super Bowl than Cincinnati just because of the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins
really?
Effect.
Would you really?
Yeah, their defense sucks.
They like, have
their
no defense.
Their defense is awful. But their offense could just be able to overpower people and outscore everyone because they're such great players on that offense. As long as they can protect Burrow, I think they could make a run.
I would be more surprised if the Bengals made it than the Steelers.
Really?
Yes, I would.
Just because of the defense or what other factor?
Because of the lack of defense. Yeah. I mean, they've got a better offense. They've got better quarterback play, certainly. They just have no defense. I don't know, and maybe that means I need to revise my AFC North standings because it's a tough line to draw if I'm going to say I'm more surprised by the Bengals making the Super Bowl than I am the Steelers, but originally I had the Steelers finishing behind the Bengals in the AFC North, and I think, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Look, I have the Steelers right now as probably the second best team in the AFC North just because of partly that with Cincinnati, but I would have more faith in the Bengals to be able to get deep into the playoffs because they've done it realistically. They went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Yeah.
When they've gone to the playoffs, they've had playoff success. Where when the Steelers go to the playoffs, they get their doors blown off in the first quarter and it's non-competitive by the fourth. So, yes, I would be more surprised if it was the Steelers than Cincinnati that would advance and go far towards the Super Bowl.
Okay. Let's overreact. It's Overreaction Friday. It's day two. This is the perfect time to go nuts here. If the Steelers would do this, what would it take? What would have to happen in order for this stuff to actually take hold and the Steelers wind up, and let's say they infiltrate that conversation of the six teams that we feel pretty confidently about them getting to the Super Bowl. What would it take to get there? I'll list mine first because
sure.
I'm the one kind of making this stuff up. But number one, it's the defense getting back to what I think a lot of the expectations of this defense have been. Pressuring the quarterback. The sack total has to be high, probably top five in the NFL. I think you need a, you know, defensive player of the year type of season from TJ Watt. He doesn't have to win the award, but 11 and a half sacks is not going to cut it. I think you would need Derek Harmon to, you know, play like Peyton Wilson and then some. You'd need him to be a very strong, one of the best rookies on any defense in the NFL. You'd obviously need the Jalen Ramsey experiment to work out. I think you'd need everybody to stay healthy. You'd need to fix your issues in the running game. But I do think that's stuff that's within the Steelers' reach. I don't think that's asking too much. Offensively, I think it starts at the offensive line. Broderick Jones is going to have to pan out on the left side. I think the offensive line needs to stay healthy. I don't think they can withstand a lot of injuries. I think it requires Roman Wilson becoming what the Steelers thought he could become. No injuries, no adjustment. Like, he has to get on a moving train pretty quickly. In the Jonnu Smith experience, I think that's important. And no, he doesn't have to be used as a traditional tight end. He's not going to be used as a traditional tight end. But for him to be a weapon. And so they don't have a traditional wide receiver two, but you're able to slice it up between Calvin Austin, more established, Jonnu Smith, creativity, and Roman Wilson with instant progression or you know, him being able to quickly assert himself in the offense. I do think the offense can be pretty good. And last but not least, of course, Aaron Rodgers staying healthy and being some reasonable facsimile of the Aaron Rodgers of old in protecting the football.
The texters have mentioned the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that we left off, the Rams, as well as the Texans. Also the Bears, but no, I'm not putting the Bears ahead of them
I'm not putting the Bears, and I'm not putting the Texans
I'm not putting the Texans either. I don't believe in the Texans. I just don't. C.J. Stroud is good, but I don't believe in a lot of the pieces that they have around him, especially their defense. Their defense is solid. New offensive coordinator gives me a little bit of trouble with Houston as well. The Rams I would put ahead of the Steelers. With Stafford, Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp, Sean McVay, Jared Verse is becoming a star on defense. Fisk is a good player on defense. Their secondary is a little bit shaky, but the Rams are definitely ahead of them. Tampa Bay I would probably put neck and neck with the Steelers. I like the Buccaneers roster, especially their receiving core. I mean, Jason, their receiving core outside of Cincinnati might be the best in football with Mike Evans, Godwin, the rookie McMillan that they had last year, and they also signed a free agent to a decent contract.
Yeah, those are valid points. I'm not going to argue, but I do think, like, if we pick six teams right now, you know, we've got the Broncos, the Packers, the Steelers, the Chargers, the Vikings, the Bengals, the Rams, and the Buccaneers. Teams that have been nominated for that second six, we'll call it. We've got a firm six and a second six. I'm very confident with the Steelers' place in that group.
Tampa Bay signed Sterling Shepard, and they drafted Emeka Ebuka in the first round.
They're just going to throw it every time, aren't they?
And they have Bucky Irving as their back. He's fine. Rashad White as well. Kate Otten at tight end. Tampa Bay is probably better. Their offensive line is okay. But, man, if you want to try to find a wide receiver to trade for, it would probably be Tampa Bay. And Jalen McMillan would be the ideal guy. He was very productive for them last year. They're probably not going to deal him. But why did they pick Ebuka?
Because it's the NFL and you need wide receiving talent?
Well, I'll tell that to the Steelers. They only have DK Metcalf. And they traded
their
other talent away.
I have been telling it to the Steelers, Austin.
They traded their other talented guy away.
I think I would
eliminate. For the right reasons, because he was a headache. But again, did they have much of a plan to replace him? It's going to depend on Roman Wilson.
Yeah. If we're looking at this list, and I gave 8 names, and we have to eliminate 2 to get down to 6.
Sure.
My 2 scratches would be the Broncos and the Bengals.
Broncos, yes.
As we think through this more, the Rams, I get your case. The Bucks, I get your case. I'm not moving off the Chargers, the Steelers, the Packers. And I think Minnesota is there. I do. I think there's enough talent around J.J. McCarthy.
I'm moving Minnesota out in favor of keeping keeping the Bengals in.
Keeping the Bengals
in. I'm keeping Cincinnati, and I'm taking out the Vikings.
I just don't know what they're going to do.
J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. I mean, so you just think the Bengals are going to be able to win games like 45-42?
Against the right opponents, yes.
Yeah.
Like, if they get into a matchup against, like, Houston, let's say they're, like, the top wild card, and they play the Texans, yeah, they could win a shootout. They could win a shootout against Buffalo. They could win a shootout against Baltimore.
They
especially
can.
Familiarity against the Ravens, yeah.
They can. But what if Burrow gets hurt?
They're going to find, well, if Burrow gets hurt, they're done.
Okay.
If right. any team loses their starting quarterback, they're done. Like, if Patrick Mahomes goes down for the Chiefs, it's over. If Allen gets hurt, it's over. If Lamar is done, bye-bye Ravens. You know, you could say that about any team that has a good quarterback.
Well, fine. I don't believe in the Bengals that much, man. I just don't.
Well, I just believe in their track record of playoff success when it ultimately comes down to it, going up against the Steelers. Like, the Steelers in the regular season might end up having a better record, but if both teams got in, I would have more confidence in the Bengals advancing than the Steelers.
Yeah, I guess what I'm banking my argument on with the Steelers is I do believe the defense will be better.
But better be. It's the highest paid by far in the NFL.
I know. And it was not that good last year, and they made some important changes. At all 3 levels, I feel like they've gotten better. And I don't think they got the best out of TJ Watt. Like, I don't think we saw anywhere close to what this Steelers defense can be last year. And I think there's a lot of people making assertions about them that think they're mediocre or not very good, and I think that's wrong.
No,
I mean, I agree with you. They better be good. They're spending the money to be good.
Right. They're good, but are they great? And they're paid to be great.
We don't need them to be great. We need them to be among the top 12 teams in the NFL.
Well, this defense needs to be great considering all the question marks on offense. This is a team that they have built to have the defense carry them, to basically say, we're going to win games on defense. Defense wins championships. Win the Mike Tomlin way of wanting to win, which is with defense. So if they're not a top 5 defense, it's a significant disappointment for me.
Yeah.
Because of the pieces that they have. They have how many Hall of Famers on this defense right now? Ramsey, Watt, Cam Hayward, good player in Darius Slay as well. Alex Highsmith, Pro Bowl type of player. Patrick Queen, Pro Bowl player. This team better be a significant threat on defense and better be a top 5 defense.
Well,
they're going to be in trouble.
You know what else needs to change limits is the Tomlin way of winning.
Well, yeah, it should.
I don't want any
we all
more
know
of
that.
This.
It should be more centered to offense and focused towards offense. Look at the Rams. And I said Cooper Kupp's still on the Rams. He's in Seattle now. But Puka Nacua with Davante Adams, with Kyren Williams, with Matthew Stafford. That's how you win. You win with a good quarterback, surrounding your good quarterback with pieces and a good offensive mind. Sure, you can win in other regards with, like, Sean McDermott, but Sean McDermott has Joe Brady to call the offense, who won a national championship at LSU with Joe Burrow. You could say the same thing about Dan Campbell. Well, they had Ben Johnson as their offensive coordinator to go along with Jared Goff. So, yeah. Dan Quinn in Washington. Cliff Kingsbury's been a head coach. He's been a successful coordinator with Jaden Daniels. And I have a lot of questions on if Arthur Smith is that same type of offensive mind. So that's why the defense has to be able to step up and be their main catalyst.
Yep. Fair enough. All right.